Welcome, everyone, to the 1056 Sports Podcast. I'm Justin, and I'm here with Trent and producer Jarrett. We have a special NFL draft recap for you guys, and we're going to start with Kyler Murray going to the Cardinals. Trent, what do you think?
I'm sorry, Josh Rosen. I'm sorry, buddy.
Very true.
You deserve so much better. But
very true.
Kyler Murray, rightfully so, I guess. Number one pick, NFL draft.
I feel like Josh Rosen, I just watched him get cheated on or something. Like, I feel so bad for the guy.
Yeah. Should have told someone. Something's not right here. I feel bad for him. But, I mean, Kyler Murray, I mean, he's a special athlete. You got picked number, like, ninth overall in the baseball draft and now first overall in the NFL draft. That's a special athlete. But, I mean, also kind of got to worry you if you're the Cardinals because he's already left one team that's drafted him in the first round. So, I mean, he's obviously not very good at commitments.
Was he drafted to win games or was he drafted to sell tickets?
Yes.
Tickets. Clearly tickets.
I mean, he's exciting to watch. So, definitely tickets. I mean, and then everybody fell in love with him, too. I mean, he's almost kind of like Zion in basketball if you don't draft him first overall, I think. I mean, what would the reaction by the Cardinals fans have been if they didn't draft Kyler Murray? One. I mean, they probably would have been a little upset. And I mean, that's bad for Rosen because I think Rosen has potential to be a good quarterback in the NFL.
I mean, I think he still does.
So, I mean,
this definitely hurt him, though, because he won't be in Miami for long.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Miami's in a win-now mode either. And, I mean, he's going there after Ryan Fitzpatrick's there. So, I mean,
if nothing else, he can learn from Fitzmagic. So, I mean,
and, you know, Fitzpatrick isn't necessarily the
Fitzmagic.
Okay.
Fitzpatrick isn't necessarily the best quarterback to ever play, but solid veteran. He's been around the league. He's, you know, he's, this will be like his 8th team he started for, something like that. It'll be like, if he starts with the Dolphins, it'll be the most teams, or the most teams ever started for by one quarterback, I think. So, I think it's 8. So, I mean, while he's not a Hall of Fame guy, definitely a high character guy, wouldn't be a bad guy to learn from. You know, just learn the league. So, maybe that works out for Rosen. I don't know if he'll be there for a while, because, I mean, it doesn't look like Miami's going to be good next year anyways, but who knows? Maybe Rosen has a fit in Miami, but we'll talk a little more about Rosen later. Moving on, pick number 2, Nick Bosa to the 49ers.
I love it. The 49ers are my second favorite team.
Was this a – here, question for you. Was this more of a need fit, or was this best player available?
I think both.
I think the 49ers needed a line. I think truly it was just best, like who they thought was best player available, which, I mean, to be honest with you, that's, in my opinion, that's one of the best ways to draft sometimes.
I mean, the only other person they really needed was a receiver, but, I mean, what receiver are you going to draft at number 2?
Yeah, I mean, Nick Bosa's good. I mean, maybe you can make an argument from the draft from Q Williams or some other defensive lineman there, but, I mean, if you view Nick Bosa as number 1 guy, solid pick. I mean, that's the thing. Like I said, one of my strategies for drafting is I would just be like, take best player available. Who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares if you've already got the position? I believe Bruce Arians said something along those lines, like, just draft the best player available. If you got 2 of them, that's not a problem. That's a good problem to have, you know? So
yeah.
That's not the exact quote, but, I mean, there's no issue with taking a talented player there. So, I mean, I don't have a problem. I mean, I like the pick. I think he's a very good player. If he's anything like his brother, I mean, pretty solid in San Francisco. So, and then the New York Jets take Quinnen Williams, 3.
You know,
like a 12-year-old looking man.
I'm okay with him being drafted there. My main concern, though, is the Jets' offense was not very good last year, and they went very defensive-heavy this draft. They've only drafted defensive guys.
What do you think? They may have looked away from offense because they signed Le'Veon. Do you think maybe they think Le'Veon's going to fix a lot of stuff because he can run and catch?
I mean, that might be what they think, but they do need another receiver.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I'm just saying maybe, you know, signing Le'Veon, it's just like, hey, we can probably focus more on defense because – if you know, if you can stop teams from scoring a lot, then you don't necessarily have to score a whole lot. So you
I mean, that's very true.
So maybe, you know, it's like the plan is to keep them to as few points. Well, I mean, you should keep them to as few points as possible. But
I mean, they definitely went out and got Greg Williams some monsters to play with.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
they're going to have a good defense.
And, I mean, you hope to see Darnold keep advancing throughout or progressing and becoming the quarterback most people think he could have been. I mean, it was either him or Baker Mayfield at number 1 last year. So, I mean, people obviously think he's got talent to be a franchise guy.
I think he will be.
So, I mean, I do too. So, I mean, obviously maybe you're expecting Le'Veon to alleviate or fix a lot of the problems that the Jets have and you want Darnold to continue to improve. But, yeah, they could still use one more playmaker on the outside would really benefit them. So, I mean, they're not. I mean, they're obviously not there yet. So maybe it's not too big a deal. Maybe they just, like I said, same thing with the 49ers. You just take the best player available and, you know, realize, hey, this is next year. We're not going to do anything anyways. There's no reason to make a dumb move. Let's make the right move that would benefit us in 3 or 4 years instead of, you know, trying to expedite this process and then mess up and set us back several years. Yeah. So maybe that's what it is. And then we move on to, we're just going to move on to pick four, and we're going to talk too long, but probably the most shocking pick, and not that he's a bad player, but this is the most shocking pick in the draft at one point, because I don't think a single person in the world picked Farrell from Clemson to go four.
No.
So, I mean, but I mean, if you like the guy, I mean, you could probably trade it back, but at the same time, you don't, it's risking trading back, because then maybe you don't get him.
Exactly. But, I mean, I understand what they're doing, you know, if that's your guy, you know you're going to get him.
Yeah. Why wait? I mean, it was shocking. I think most people had him in the 15 to 20 round, but that's the media. We don't necessarily know, you know, in the front office is what they think. And if that's your guy, that's your guy. And you can maybe argue that with the next pick, because while this pick four was the most shocking pick in the draft, it didn't last too long because the New York Giants made sure they took the most shocking pick at pick six because they took Dwayne Haskins. No, wait, no. Mm-hmm. That's not right. They took Drew Locke?
No.
No. Who did they take?
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I don't think a soul saw that coming. No. And that's one of those things we talk about, that you could have, maybe you don't want to trade back and take a chance, but most people are saying, yeah, he would not have, he would have fallen to 17, so they could have got him at 17.
He would have fallen out of the first round.
It was shocking. I saw something that said he was like a, he wasn't even like rated on ESPN coming out of high school. He didn't have like a star. I mean, and why didn't they consider trading for Rosen? I'm sure they considered trading for Rosen, but why not make the move for Rosen?
I just don't understand.
And if you think Eli's going to sit, because obviously it looks like Daniel Jones is coming there to sit behind Eli for a year or two, why not trade for Josh Rosen, or at least consider it? I mean, there's a lot of options here, and I know some people were very critical of this. Like you saw the one guy on Twitter that complained about he would leave the fan base if they took Daniel Jones, and of course.
Took Daniel Jones.
So, yeah.
Bill, what do you think about that?
What do you think about Daniel Jones?
Who?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Moving on. And another, who do you want to talk about next? What you got for me?
Ed Oliver going to the Bills. I think that was a great pick for them.
I think that's a solid play. I mean, I think he has one of the highest ceilings.
Absolutely.
He could easily be a bust, but at the same time, if you hit on him, he could be one of the highest ceilings in the draft, just like potential. Wise, I think that's a solid player. It's going to solidify the defense in Buffalo. And, you know, I mean, maybe Buffalo's got something working there. We'll talk a little more about them later. And then I know somebody I want to talk about is actually, you know, most people thought the Giants may take at 6. Dwayne Haskins, 15. What'd you think to the Redskins?
I think it was a great pickup for the Redskins, but I feel honestly bad for Dwayne Haskins.
Man, did you see the look on his face when he realized that they took Daniel Jones over him at 6?
You could tell that he was mad.
I mean, it was one of those things that, like, people were like, oh, he had a bad attitude. But the way I looked at it, I was like, man, this guy is ready to play.
Giant killer the next 40 years.
He's going to be motivated to play. And, I mean, like you said, he might be a Giants killer. He's going to take it on the Giants every time because they drafted Daniel Jones. He's going to remind them. I feel like he's that type of guy that's going to remind them. And moving on, they took a receiver from Ohio State in the 3rd round. McLaurin, I believe. I mean, a guy that played with him in Ohio State, so it looks like, you know, Washington's trying to make moves, and they got a guy that could make their, you know, new franchise quarterback comfortable.
Another pick that really shocked me was Josh Jacobs to Oakland.
I don't know if it shocked me as much, especially since Marshawn Lynch had just retired. I knew they were going to take a running back at some point. I didn't know where Josh Jacobs was going to go. But, I mean, some people are joking, saying it didn't look like he was happy to be picked by Oakland.
He did not look happy at all.
But, I mean, I think he's obviously been considered maybe the best running back in the draft this year. So,
I mean, I think he's a great fit for them.
Is he fantasy relevant this year?
Absolutely, because he's going to be the starting running back.
Yes, sir. Probably. He's, in all honesty, maybe the only, one of the few rookies in this year's class that's going to be fantasy relevant for, like, you know, in drafts. Maybe, like, and talk about early in drafts.
I mean, hopefully he makes an appearance on the 69ers.
Oh, yeah, your fantasy football team. But, I mean, you don't have a pick for, like, the first 7 rounds because you've made all these trades.
Just off topic real quick, I have Todd Gurley, Sonny Michel, Nick Chubb, and now Aaron Rodgers. Tell me who's better.
I traded you Aaron Rodgers earlier today, so.
Tell me who's better.
Sonny Michel, we'll talk about later. Got a new running back mate from Alabama, Damian Harris. Kareem Hunt plays in Cleveland with old, what's his name, Nick Chubb. Yeah, and let's see, who's that other running back you had?
Yeah, Todd Gurley.
Yeah, he's got a bruised knee.
Yeah.
And they also took a running back in the third round. So,
I love it.
Yeah.
Love fantasy
football. I don't think any of those guys are really in trouble. I mean, the biggest one would be the Patriots taking Damian Harris in the third round, just because the Patriots always use three running backs, and sometimes you never know which running back's going to be the featured one that week. So, keeping on in the first round, I like to Marquise Brown going to Baltimore at 25. It looks like they're trying to find help for Lamar Jackson, and then getting Miles Boykin in the third round. They got two different types of receivers. You got a quick, receiver, and you got a big, strong receiver. So, I mean, they're committing to Lamar.
I honestly feel like Hollywood Brown is the next Deshaun Jackson.
Is that a good thing?
Yes and no.
Why?
No, because I think there's more hype coming in, like for him coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So if he has a career like Deshaun Jackson, some people might say that was a bust. But Deshaun Jackson in his prime was a great football player.
Yeah, I mean, Deshaun Jackson's a great player. But, I mean, now that you've made that comparison, now you're always going to compare him to that. So now you can be disappointed. And, Marquise Brown in 15 years, that's on you. I'm putting that one on you, not me. That's on you, Colonel Sanders. But moving on, we're going to take another Giants pick. Oh, but you know what? Actually, with a pick 17 in the 2019 NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns essentially pick Odell Beckham Jr.
True.
but really, the Giants picked Dexter Lawrence. And then Lawrence from Clemson went there at 17. And so there you go. There's one of the Odell pieces.
That's something I don't understand. Because they traded...
And then they also picked DeAndre Baker at 30, so we'll talk about him in a second. But
I don't understand, because you trade away Damian Harrison for... I can't remember. I think it's draft picks. But then you go and you draft somebody who's nowhere near as good as him to take his place.
Yeah, I mean, that's nothing against Lawrence, but to be safe, it might be a few years.
Yeah, so I don't
never know. That pick. And then what are the Giants going to be next year, of course? I mean, DeAndre Baker at 30. I like DeAndre Baker. I know you like him because you're a biased Georgia fan. But
I am a biased Georgia fan. I think he's the best cornerback in the draft.
Okay. But what will the Giants...
Who's better?
Okay, we're not doing this now.
Who's better?
You're not going to like my answer. Greedy Williams is definitely better. Don't lie to me.
I mean, I think he's right there next with him. Still surprising me that he fell all the way to the mid of the second round.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Browns, speaking of this, while we're on the topic, the Browns may have got the biggest deal. Their first pick was in the middle of the second round, and they got Greedy Williams, who people thought would go in the first round. Somehow, Greedy Williams falls to the middle of the second round to the Cleveland Browns. I mean,
ridiculous.
The Browns are becoming LSU is becoming like a minor league system for the Cleveland Browns, apparently, but... That's a different story for a different day, because, I mean, they have so many LSU players now.
If it works, it works.
Not denying that. But what will the Giants be next year? Do you think the Giants can be anything next year, or do you think...
No, I see them going 3-13.
Are they anywhere close?
No.
Poor Saquon Barkley.
They got further away.
That's
the Giants are the only team in NFL history to have three first-round draft picks and somehow get worse.
Oh, man. I know we were talking about it. I told you when the Browns also made that trade for Odell, they sent back, all the picks, but they also sent back the title to worst franchise in the NFL.
That's very true.
Did you see, by the way, the coach for the Giants, he was sitting at the press conference beside Gettleman, and it looked like he had not, he zoned out. He's just like, looks like he was contemplating his life. He's like, why am I here?
Pat Shurmur.
Yeah, why am I here? He's like, I'm...
Poor guy, man.
Poor Saquon Barkley. Oh, man. Poor guy. Those big thighs are going to,
get
be
wasted.
The only thing working in New York for a while. That's the entire offense. Thankfully, he's strong enough to maybe carry him, but... Oh, man. But let's talk about the best pick in the draft. N'Keal Harry.
Future Randy Moss.
Because he's going to New England. Because I don't doubt anything Bill Belichick said. By the way, I saw a video, I don't know if you saw it, of Bill Belichick telling N'Keal Harry that he's a Patriot. Did you see this?
I did not.
When he called him. So, it shows their video, and they said, I think we're going to N'Keal Harry. And they call it in, and then Belichick pulls out his phone, and he calls N'Keal Harry, and he goes, hey, N'Keal, this is Coach Belichick. Congrats, you're a New England Patriot. It's like, congrats, you're a New England Patriot.
So straightforward.
Good work. Good. It'll be good to be working for you. As that's it. The most Bill Belichick way possible. So, you think he'll be the next Randy Moss?
I do. I think he'll be great. I think anybody they put in there would have been great.
You know, it was the first receiver taken in the first round by Belichick?
I did not know that.
In the Belichick era, they had not taken a receiver in the first round in the Belichick era. So, he made history.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And, I mean, does he fit well in New England? The thing is, I think, well, obviously the Patriots need any receiver they can get because they are very thin at receiver. They have Julian Edelman and then,
the local bagger boy.
I mean, the ghost of Demaryius Thomas. So,
we'll see if he's a ghost.
Wrong side of 30, torn Achilles. I mean, we've seen this before. I mean,
breakout year coming.
No. Reggie Wayne went there. Everybody thought he was going to have it. I don't think Reggie Wayne played down for the Patriots because it was just over. And I like Demaryius Thomas. I hope it's not over. I hope it works for him because he seems like a good guy, good receiver.
His prime wasn't long enough.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. He was a good receiver. I mean, but wrong side of 30, Achilles injury. Doesn't look good. But I think the Patriots also need speed on the outside, maybe a little bit receiver. But, I mean, N'Keal Harry's not bad. It's just, and it's not like they, it's, drafting this guy's bad. It's not like they can't find a guy in the fifth or sixth round. I mean, well,
they catch passes.
You know, as long as they don't waste. System
quarterback Tom Brady.
Yes, system quarterback Tom Brady. I mean, you know, obviously one of those picks in like the sixth round is reserved for Hunter Renfrow. But
obviously,
yeah, because it's like New England Patriot. Like that's the, you draw up a receiver for the New England Patriots. It looks like Hunter Renfrow, and if he's not a Patriot, I'm probably just be sad because I've expected him to be a Patriot for a while.
Exactly.
But it's not like they can't find a receiver in the later rounds that maybe works out for him because the Patriots are known to find talent. They're very good at, you know, identifying talent that's going to fit their team, especially late in the round. Later in the rounds, I mean, it's going to work out for him. And I know that's all for the first round. Let's move on. The big news really today, though, for today's round, because we did have rounds 2 and 3 today, was the Josh Rosen trade. We did talk about it a little bit, but he is traded to the Dolphins for a second-round pick, which ended up being Isabella, a slot receiver going to the Cardinals, the Cardinals selected afterwards, and then a fifth-round pick in 2020. I don't think that's a whole lot for Josh Rosen.
No.
It's like how you drafted 10th overall.
For a future franchise quarterback, that's not a lot.
They were wanting the first-round pick, and I understand them so, but you're probably only going to get a second and third, but the fact that they only get two picks from him, I feel like they maybe could have got more. I feel like maybe they could have got more a couple weeks ago if they wanted to.
If they knew that's what they were going to do, I don't know why they didn't go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you knew you're... It's one of those things that, like, people are like, well, there's no reason they couldn't. They could keep Josh Rosen with Kyler Murray because he's going
to
be cheap. But that's going to make a bad quarterback room. That's just
horrible.
Asking for bad tensions, you know.
Because Josh Rosen already has a bad attitude.
And, yeah, and he's said the right things so far. He's made, you know, I understand it's a business, but at the same time, it's like, hey, you wasn't good enough, you know, last year.
Yeah.
And now we're going to bring in your replacement. That's not good for the... That's not good for him. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hope Josh Rosen's fine. I know last year, even though he went 10th, there was a lot of people saying he had the best mechanics of any quarterback in the draft.
Right.
I mean, it was kind of a deeper quarterback draft last year, and you had Allen and Rosen and Darnold and Baker Mayfield, and you even had Lamar back there. So, I mean, you had several quarterbacks, so it was kind of a decision on who was the best of the bunch there. But some people said he might have the best mechanics overall, so. I mean, we don't know. They are, in a way, prospects still, but I hope it works out for him in Miami. We'll find out, of course. And then Andy Isabella, I mean, I do like the Cardinals pick, though, from Andy Isabella. At least you got a somewhat decent receiver.
They got someone to help Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, and, well, Kyler Murray, of course, too, but I think it's fine. So we'll find out. And another big news I had is the Jaguars got Juwan Taylor in the second round, pick 3. And this is a guy some people thought would go in the top 10 picks in some instances to the Jaguars. And they waited a whole round, basically, got him in the second. So, I mean,
that's
offensive lineman, that's pretty good. And that, you know, brings us to the next guy, which is, while Juwan Taylor was incredible, I think the next one's pretty cool, too. And the fact that most people thought Drew Locke was going to go 10 overall to the Broncos, they traded back. You know, the Steelers jumped up and, you know, took Devin Bush, correct? Took Devin Bush, which was who the Bengals were apparently going to take at pick 11. Total troll move, which is funny. But anyways, people weren't sure if the Broncos were going to get Locke after trading back. And just so has it, Locke falls all the way to pick 42, a full round afterwards. And they got their guy in the second round and then got more picks by trading by pick 10. So that's
and
your guy.
And they got somebody to block for him.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know if he's going to – I mean, you obviously don't know what he's going to be because they drafted first-round quarterbacks before. So – they drafted Paxton Lynch a few years ago, and Paxton Lynch. So,
yeah.
I mean, you don't know what these guys are going to be, but the fact is that you got the guy that seemed to be their guy the entire time, and you got more around him as well. I mean, that's not bad. I'm sorry, Joe Flacco, that this is 2 years in a row that you've been on a team that's drafted a young quarterback, and I know he said they shouldn't draft a young quarterback to play behind me, whatever. I wouldn't like that. But guess what, Joe? You're getting old. So, team's got to
I think Joe will start all year, though. I think Drew Locke might have the
that would be the best situation. That's the best situation for a young quarterback, though. I think it's better for young quarterbacks to come in and sit a year or two.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. I mean, if you have to, yeah, but I think it's better sometimes for a quarterback to come in and sit a year or two. I think you see it work out better for them. Sometimes when you force a guy into the action too early, you can stunt their growth.
No, yeah.
I mean, especially, like, hopefully Josh Rosen can recover from running for his life in Arizona last year, essentially. Yes. So, I mean, we'll find out, of course. Let's see here. What else we got for us in the second and third rounds?
Greedy Williams falling all the way.
That's
46.
Right. We talked about this. Like I said, middle of the second round. That's.
He also predicted the Browns to win the Super Bowl next year.
Because they are. They're going 16-0. Right?
They definitely are.
Yeah. We'll definitely have a NFL predictions one day.
Ooh, Chile.
Mm.
I don't know if the Browns will go 16-0, but the fact that Greedy Williams did fall in the middle of the second round was pretty.
11-5, baby.
You know, was great for them because that's their first pick. And most people had a first-round grade on him. You get him in the middle of the second round. Yeah. You shore up that defense, which is already pretty good for the most part last year. So, I mean,
it was really – well, the defense was pretty good last year. And they needed one more corner to go with Denzel Ward. And now they have Greedy Williams. So you're looking at really a stacked
defense for
the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, you got several players. Like, you got Myles Garrett there as well. You got several players on the defense that could be just fine. And they're all young still. And then – the other side, you got Baker Mayfield, which seems like he might be a franchise quarterback. So it looks like maybe Cleveland has finally turned it around.
Are they the youngest team?
I don't know.
Actually, I think the Colts are. The Colts had the most starts by rookies last year.
It'd be interesting to look that up. We'll have to find that out maybe for the next podcast. That's an interesting stat. I know, by the way, the Phoenix Suns are the youngest team in basketball.
But and they still suck. Yeah, they'll always suck.
Okay. Find you a new co-host. That's just a shot. That was not necessary. I did see someone say they should be relegated to the G League, but
ooh,
yeah, Robert Sarver's the worst owner in sports. Not James Dolan.
Shout out.
Okay,
Damian
I'm sorry.
Lillard.
I'm off my NBA soapbox. Sorry, it's hard as a Suns fan. Going back, moving on. DK Metcalf fell all the way to the last pick in the second round to the Seahawks,
which was crazy to me.
Most people thought he might be the only receiver taken in the first round at one point, but. He kind of fell all the way in the second round. The Seahawks got him. It's like he's a very polarizing figure. Some people either love him or they hate him in terms of what they think he'll be.
It's going to be interesting to see what he can do.
Yeah.
And before we move on, I just want to point out Georgia's own Miko Hardman has taken the place of Tyreek Hill, who is a child beater.
I kind of like that pick, though. I mean, I don't know if he'll be able to replicate it exactly this
year.
He'll
be close to it.
I mean, that's a pretty good pick, and I mean, we talked about fantasy.
Miko Hardman, welcome to the 69ers, brother.
Oh my god, you can't. That's not how draft works. I'm gonna draft him just so you can't have him. I don't even care if it screws up my team. That's what I'm gonna do. I draft players that you want. I don't even care if it. Like, I don't have a need for
them. That's what everybody else in the league does, and they want to trade him with me for the life of them.
Hey, I'll give you Sammy Watkins for Michael Thomas. That makes sense.
Bet deal.
No. Yeah. Oh, man. Fantasy football trades are the best. But anyways, we're going to get back off that. You know, Miko Hardman, I think, is a, you know, a good player. I think he could be a very solid player, I think. What was it Kirk Herbstreit said today? You know, he might actually be used correctly in the NFL?
Yes, he took a huge shot at the wonderful, most amazing offense coordinator to ever step on the field, Jim Chaney. I'm so upset that he went to Tennessee. But he said he will be better in the NFL than he was in college because somebody will actually do more than throw him screens every game.
Yeah, that would probably help him out a little bit because he is probably more valuable than just a screen receiver. So, and then of course one more guy I want to talk about is Ja'Kai Polite from Florida. Fell all the way to the third round to the Jets. And some people thought he was a first-round talent at one point. They weren't sure, you know, but there's some people that said he could be a first-round talent. But he had terrible interviews, terrible combine. He's gained weight and looks like he's maybe lost a step. There's a lot of question marks on this player. But, I mean, in the third round, if you get a guy that has first-round grade and he turns it around, I mean,
that's but, a I win. Mean, it's like Antonio Callaway. So, I mean, it's interesting to see what's going to happen.
It's a win for the Jets. I mean, if he turns out to be what people thought he could be, I mean, and if not, I mean, you got a solid maybe – linebacker for depth reasons. So, yeah, I mean, let's moving on to what else we got for storylines in the NBA, or NBA, NFL draft today.
Damian Harris going to the Pats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, love it.
I hate it. Oh, every man. Second of it.
It's perfect because the New England Patriots are just going to continue to win every Super Bowl ever. Tom Brady's going to play until he's 60. Just insane. But, I mean, it looks like maybe this is the end of Rex Burkhead in New England. You know, they like to use three running backs. Maybe.
More than likely, yeah.
I mean, they like, maybe it'll be Sony Michel and then Damian Harris and...
Or does Rex Burkhead or James White move down to the slot?
No. Well, I mean, they need a receiver, but no.
I mean, I can see James White doing it because, I mean, that's all he's used for.
I mean, he had like 20-something catches in a Super Bowl game. So, yeah. I mean, you know, he had like 35 catches. He had more catches in the Super Bowl than the entire Buffalo Bills receiving corps last year in one game. So, I mean, Oh, man. Speaking of receiving backs, you know, T.J. Yeldon went to Buffalo. So did Frank Gore. And then the Bills also drafted Singletary from FAU in the third round. Is this the end of the Shady McCoy era in Buffalo?
I believe it is.
Oh, man. Speaking of it, did you see what happened on Twitter with Shady McCoy and Matthew Berry?
You mean where he tweeted out that Iron Man dies at the end of Avengers Endgame?
Oh, my God. Well, we just got canceled. Had you not seen it yet, Bill?
No, I don't care. I don't watch Marvel.
I had seen it.
I'm bleeping that out. There's going to be a lot of boo.
Yeah, because JJ just ruined Avengers. Yeah.
We're getting sued.
But anyways, Shady McCoy legit tweeted that out. And upset a lot of people, including Matthew Berry, who went out and read a bunch of his stats online. It was so funny.
If you haven't
seen it, just go look at Matthew Berry's Twitter account and find out about what he said about Shady and how awful he was last year because he was so mad at Shady McCoy. It was so funny. But it looks like it's over. You had Singletary and Yeldon and Gore. And, I mean, T.J. Yeldon looks like maybe he's going to be the lead back in Buffalo if Shady's out. I mean, he's a younger guy. He can catch the ball. I saw something that in, like, 14 games last year, if you take – all 16 games for the receivers last year, or the leading receiver for the Bills last year in 16 games, had one more catch than T.J. Yeldon did out of the backfield in 14 games. So
that's just ridiculous.
It is. It's insane. See here. Last one I got here is Will Greer going to the Carolina Panthers in the third round.
Did they draft Cam's replacement?
Maybe just insurance for Cam Newton because that shoulder. I mean, obviously there's question marks.
I see Cam moving on very soon from Carolina.
Really?
To where?
It's going to be interesting to see, but I think he's leaving.
He's Tom Brady's heir apparent. That's what it is.
No, definitely not. That'd
be the perfect replacement. Cam Newton can go to the evil empire.
The Patriots?
Yeah, and here's the thing. No. Bill Belichick is going to coach as long as he can, so he can coach 1 year without Tom Brady with preferably Brian Hoyer, but maybe Cam Newton. He wants to coach 1 year and win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady to prove that it was all him. That's my prediction.
That's the most left-fielded prediction ever.
No, because Tom Brady's a system quarterback.
All joking to the side, I could see Cam going to Tampa and working under Bruce Arians after Jameis Winston's last year this year.
No, Jameis Winston's MVP this year under Bruce Arians.
I'm kidding. He really might, because he has that out.
Bleep that out. Please don't.
Heck of
that.
A arm, and that's all Bruce Arians needs. We got to cut that.
Any chance, I don't have much of a career right now, but any chance of me having a sports career just went out the drain if that gets posted. But Jameis Winston winning an MVP this year. So.
Bleep that out.
Please don't. You don't have to. We'll just accept it.
Well.
I bet he finishes as a top 10 quarterback.
In fantasy?
No.
Just in general?
Yep.
Jameis Winston.
Yes.
I doubt he makes it past the third game.
Let's make predictions right now. Let's make a prediction. Where will he finish? I got all 32 quarterbacks. Well, obviously there'll be more than 32 eligible. But let's give a Buccaneers win loss prediction and rank, like a Pro Football Focus rank on Jameis Winston.
6-10 record, and I bet he finishes at least 8.
Okay, you want to give one, Bill?
Nah.
Okay. I will go. I wanted to say 7-9, but that's just too close to you. So we're gonna go. 14-2. No. And Jameis Winston wins the MVP. Let's see here. We'll go 7-9. I think he finishes as 12 on Pro Football Focus. We'll try to write this down. We'll have a friendly bet. We'll come up with a bet for something eventually. So, anything else you got? What you got?
Just real quick, I want to say I have three winners and three losers. My three winners from the draft, the 49ers, obviously, because they just went out there balling. Denver, because they let their future franchise quarterback get to them in the middle of the second round. And Cleveland Browns for drafting a first-round talent in the middle of the second round. And my losers, the Giants, for drafting a nobody at quarterback. The Cardinals, because their offensive line is literally the worst offensive line I've ever seen in my life, and they still haven't drafted an offensive lineman. And Cincinnati, because it's Cincinnati.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I mean, I like all that. Definitely interesting the Giants are being dragged on Twitter. So, it's funny. Cincinnati's just Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's cursed. So,
yeah. Cincinnati needs to move their football team. First of all, the Chargers need to go back to San Diego. And then they need to discuss what they're going to do with Cincinnati because it needs to leave where it's at.
So we got a nobody coming to the Giants to replace Eli to take the Giants to the playoffs.
The playoffs?
Playoffs?
We're going to bleep that part out.
Playoffs?
If Daniel Jones
to whatever they got.
Leads the Giants to the playoffs within the next 3 years, I will get his name and his number tattooed on my chest.
Oh my god, I've become the biggest Giants fan ever. I'm buying a Daniel Jones jersey.
Can we get that written down on contract?
We can.
Oh, it's getting written down. Oh, absolutely.
But you have 3 years.
We're going to write down the Buccaneers one, but we're going to write that one down for sure.
You have 3 years.
Because
it's on the podcast. It's on radio.
I will find you. I'll do the tattoo myself if I have to.
I will do a piece of it also.
This is getting better and better.
Both of you touch me with a needle gun.
At the same time. We'll have two needle guns and we'll just go from the outside in.
That sounds like a fun night, but probably something we shouldn't discuss on the podcast. But moving on, I got one last draft thing, and I'm going to start with Bill. I want to see what Bill's answer is for this because I know JJ and I have talked about it. Bill, let's say you're a football player. You've entered the NFL draft, but you know your draft stock's in the seventh round, you know, the last round. Would you rather be one of the last five, six, seven picks in the draft? Like, so you're drafted. So you're like legit, or Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft, whichever one, like five, six left. Or would you rather be an undrafted free agent?
I think I go the free agent route.
Why?
To be honest. Because I don't know. Well, that's a real good question.
It's tough because you want to be drafted, obviously.
Yeah, you want to be drafted, but then I feel like if you go undrafted for a while, you're kind of floating around in one of the like bigger teams that didn't want to take a chance at you in the very beginning. They wanted to get somebody bigger, can like, oh, you're still floating? Grab you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then you become like that Swiss Army knife.
What you got, JJ? What you thinking along those lines?
I'd rather be drafted in the first round.
No, that's not the question.
Well, of course, yeah.
It's not the question. Okay, you know what? You're in timeout. You can't talk for a few minutes.
That's the sound effect.
You're in timeout here.
When we get better production. he's
But, I mean, I kind of agree with you. I like the undrafted part because if you're the last pick in the draft, now you're kind of committed to that one team. They kind of have the rights to you. But if you're undrafted, now you can kind of pick between the two or three. If they're interested in you, obviously. Now, if nobody's interested in you, I want to be drafted. But
yeah,
if there's some interest in you, you can pick between like two, three, four teams, and you can pick the situation that best fits you.
If nobody's interested in you, you're probably not getting drafted, though.
Just go sell houses.
What? Okay. Now, as long as he shows up to work, we'll be fine. So, you know, that's all we need.
You know who showed up to work? During this draft, you know who showed up to work?
Daniel
the
Jones.
Giants.
No. They called in sick. You know what? They no-called no-show. That's what they did.
Damn.
All right.
John Elway showed up to work this draft.
John Elway showed up to work.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Oh, man. Showed up to work, making that paycheck, getting paid. Oh, man.
Giants no-called no-show.
You got anything else?
I am done.
You're done?
I know you have a rant.
Okay, well, it's not really a rant. It's one last thing. It's something we're going to try to start doing at the end of every podcast, but we're just going to take turns doing it. It's one last thing. I want to talk about it because we didn't really get to speak too much about it on the podcast. We didn't devote a whole lot of time to it, but it's something I like to do. I like to watch golf, and it's something I think is one of the biggest sports stories of not only the year, but maybe even the millennium. But Tiger Woods won the Master a couple weeks ago. You got the vintage Tiger Red on 18, walking up to 18. You know, he's wearing the mock turtlenecks. It's an insane scene. Tiger is so good for the world of golf. It's incredible to watch. I just wanted to talk about it for a second.
It was a great story.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. In the time that Tiger was gone. You know, you had Spieth and McIlroy and all these other guys, you know, Johnson and all these people who were great players, great golfers. And you had a like maybe arguably a better top-heavy talent in golf. But nobody was able to develop that star power that Tiger Woods was able to develop. And it's incredible to watch. Like, it's just a different scene to watch Tiger. Like, I remember I actually went to a golf tournament like 6 months ago and followed Tiger around. People were climbing trees just to watch Tiger.
That's crazy.
It's incredible to watch Tiger play. Like, he's just so good for the world of golf. Like, no one's been able to replicate that star power that Tiger Woods has for golf. And while maybe it's not good for someone to be dominant, like a team to be dominant and, you know, run it like the Warriors or UConn's women's college basketball team or, you know, Jimmy Johnson winning 7 championships in NASCAR. I bet you didn't expect a NASCAR reference, did you?
I did not.
But,
ooh, I don't think anybody did.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm full of, you know, all goodies today. But anyways, it's Tiger. Tiger's good for the world of sports. You know, even though him being dominant, nobody could develop that star power that Tiger had. And that's incredible. The picture of him celebrating on 18 is the picture of the year easily. I don't care what happens the rest of the year. I mean, it got the blank Sports Illustrated cover, which only happens like, it's only happened like 3 times in count. This one, you know, the Miracle on Ice and like one other occasion. It's an incredible scene. It's good for golf. Congrats to Tiger Woods. You know, maybe he'll listen to this podcast one day and he'll hear me tell him thank you for, you know, everything.
Tiger Woods, we love you.
Yeah, Tiger, thank you for easily the best moment in sports, probably for the year. Doesn't matter what happens. He's probably locked down the best sports moment of the year. The best feel-good moment. Maybe even not even the year of the decade, because Tiger's good for golf. And that's pretty much it. You got anything you want to add there?
That is it for me.
That's it for you. Bill?
Shout out Smith Pelly.
Also, we hate Jim Chaney here.
I am also a Josh Jacobs fan.
Why didn't you say that in the middle of the draft talk? Where were you? Okay. Well, by the way, Tim Beckham, you're always welcome at the table if you ever want to show up for the 1056 Sports Podcast. The invite's there. Check your DMs. I've messaged you multiple times and you have not responded. But Tim Beckham, you're always welcome at the table here at the 1056 Sports Podcast. We hope to see you here. Thanks for everybody. I'm Trent here with JJ and Bill.
Peace out.
Peace out, everybody.
Shout out John Morant.